Hi, this is Skip Lackey, and I was in the 1985 horror comedy film Once Bitten, and this is Chris and Scott with the Vampire Movie Minute podcast. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the final two episodes of the Vampire Movie Minute podcast coverage of the film Blade, starring Wesley Snipes from 1998. I am your host, Dr. Chris, and joining me for the last of these two episodes is...
Hi, my name is Jessica. I am the host and curator of Arcane Echoes podcast on YouTube.
And tonight we are discussing Blade's minutes 110 to 115. And we start with a whole bunch of sword fighting. But before we get to that, Jessica, why don't we talk about how you first discovered Blade? And did you know Blade was a comic book character from Marvel Comics, same universe as Spider-Man and the Avengers, before you saw the film?
So no, I did not know that Blade came from a comic. I first discovered Blade years and years ago when I was younger. I remember watching the movie and just loving the movie, but it had been actually a really long stretch of time before I had seen it again. And I rewatched it right before we filmed this, and I fell in love all over again. And now with my adult eyes, I can appreciate his beauty. And, you know, just we mentioned off camera how sexy of a movie it is and how all the actors are very good looking. And I definitely agree with that. So reintroduced. And then I only realized the Marvel connection when I saw Stanley Lee in the opening credits. So I put two and two together after. So I'm definitely going to need to check out those comics after we film this today.
Did you know there was a lawsuit with Marv Wolfman and Gene Colan on the movie because they were not credited for creating Blade?
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand it. I did not know that, but I do understand it.
Yep. They believe they did sue Marvel the New Line Cinema, and they got paid what they were supposed to, plus credit for creating Blade. They were, you know, and of course it says Blade and other characters are created by Marv Wolfman and Gene Colan for Tomb of Dracula, which is the comic book they came from. Tomb of Dracula was Marvel's, by the way, there's also a great little bonus feature on there where Stan Lee talks about, how did Blade and Tomb of Dracula come about? And it has to do with the Comic Code Authority preventing the use of dead creatures in comics at the time. Among other things, police were always in a position of authority, could never be shown to be doing anything wrong, drugs could not be used, and homosexuals were also not allowed in comic books.
Wow. And this was during what time era?
The 1950s, the 60s, and then lapsed in the early 70s because the McCarthy era of comics came hardcore after horror comics like EC Comics. EC Comics published Tales from the Crypt, The Vault of Horror, The Crypt of Fear, so on and so forth. They eventually had to cancel all those titles, and they eventually published Mad Magazine, which is now published by Warner Brothers DC Comics. So Stan wanted to do a story about drugs, and he wanted to explain why drugs were bad. And the Comic Code Authority said, no, drugs can't be put in comics. He goes, I'm not going to show the kids how to do the drugs. I just want to do a story about why drugs can really hurt people. And so Harry Osborn was given a drug addiction. Harry Osborn's the son of Norman Osborn, the Green Goblin. He was played by James Franco in the Spider-Man trilogy.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
So they did the story and nothing happened. The Comic Code Authority said you're not going to be able to get that onto certain newsstands because it has to have the code authority that this is a pure book of purity. And next thing you know, Marvel was flooded with letters from people saying, thank God you did that issue because I need to get my son, my daughter, my wife, my sister, my brother into a drug rehab.
Oh, wow.
And the code lapsed. So Stan, 10 issues later, pushed it even further. He was not writing the book anymore. He was editor. And he said, let's do a vampire. The code said, we can't do vampires. Vampires are dead things. We don't do dead things. He's like, what if it was a living vampire? And I'm going to do it anyway, because there's nothing in the code says I can't do a living vampire created by science. So he created Morbius the Living Vampire. Now, little Easter egg for you. On the DVD or Blu-ray of Blade, there is a deleted scene where somebody is watching Blade from a rooftop, and that was supposed to be Morbius the Living Vampire, who was given his own movie starring Jared Leto.
Oh, wow. So on the DVD. I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah, it's a bonus feature. Yep. And okay, in fact, it was supposed to set up for the fact that Morbius was going to be the villain in the second Blade movie, but then Del Toro was hired and he decided to do his own thing.
Yeah.
Which was like the mandible weird vampires with the weird opening mouths and stuff like that. Kind of like we saw in The Strain. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I've never seen Morbius. I just looked at some photos. He looks pretty scary. I mean, he definitely does not look like a living vampire.
That movie is terrible.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like one of those things that could be hit or miss. I'm sure if they would have incorporated him into Blade, it probably would have been better.
So we get this like nonstop clank, 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 clank sword fight. I have taken German longsword fighting. Have you ever taken any kind of sword fighting?
No, but I get really pumped when I watch those scenes, and immediately I was like, I need to learn this. I need to do this.
Do you, and then Blade cuts off Frost's hand, and he said, and cuts him in half, and he says, what the, yeah. He mouths, what the fuck?
Yeah, because he regenerates. Yeah, that was wild. There were a few little scenes that I was like, oh, I love that they added this in. You know, him mouthing what the fuck was so realistic, because really, like, what?
In the bonus features for the commentary, they talk about how Wesley Snipes did a lot of his own stunts in this, and Chief Bo is the stunt master, did a few of them as well, and it's not very often you can tell which scene is Wesley or not.
Wow, that's amazing. I did not know that. I mean, he definitely had to work out a ton before this, so I'm sure he was doing all kinds of training, even just to be able to... you know, move around in those scenes, but I had no idea he did his own stunt.
And Jessica, what famous line is uttered in this film in this 5 minutes that you're on?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't know I was going to have a quiz.
Some motherfuckers are always trying to ice skate uphill.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was the one after he shot him in the head, right?
Right. This line comes from the writer saying this out loud when somebody is doing he's watching something happen in front of him and some impossible feat. And he says out loud, some motherfucker is always trying to ice skate uphill. And when he said it, it was in relation to something he saw, which was very similar to that. Somebody was trying to do something impossible and just failing at it.
Wow. Yeah. That was pretty epic. I mean, that's a great delivery for the last moments.
Him and Karen escape Frost's little lair. And then we switch over to what country?
Moscow.
Yeah, very weird, huh? I mean, she wants to work on this serum with him, but that's it. That's all we see of Karen. Did you notice in this movie there's no fucking romance between Blade and Karen, but there's a huge romance between Frost and Mercury and Blade's mommy?
Yeah, that was trippy. I mean, so when they first showed Blade's mom, I know this isn't in the segment we're talking about, but when she was in his bed, in Frost's bed,
uh-huh.
I kind of thought it was the same person, but obviously her hair was different. It's like, oh, maybe I'm just, you know, thinking, like, seeing similarities that aren't there. But it definitely makes sense them pulling that in there because it's like the ultimate betrayal, right? Your mother is betraying you. But I did find it interesting that him and Karen didn't have a romance, but also I think that it just shows how focused he is on his purpose. I think a lot of times people want to have that romance because they're trying to highlight that portion or like that carnal urge, but he's just so dedicated to what he's doing that he doesn't have time for it.
It's also like the best of both worlds. You get, you know, this beautiful woman Mercury on your arm for nightclubs, and then waiting for you at home in bed is this beautiful African American mother.
Yeah. Yeah, she's stunning.
You definitely know Frost has had both of them at the same time.
Oh, yeah, and more. I mean, there's certain scenes where Mercury and him are making eye contact and then looking at other female vampires, so they definitely are implying that they get a little freaky.
That my favorite scene, and this is in the previous 5 minutes, is when he kisses her after killing that douchebag cop, and then the blood is all over her porcelain, like, unblemished, just perfect skin, and she's just covered in it. And you're like, this shouldn't be as erotic as it looks, but it's hot. Why? Stop doing this, vampire movie.
You're like, am I in the Blood?
So we switch over to Moscow, and apparently the vampire that Blade stops from killing this girl in the original script was going to be Whistler Resurrected.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah, I was wondering what was going to happen with him just because they didn't show after the like, we never actually saw him get shot, right? So
right, well,
we hear the gunshot and he walks away, but we don't actually see it.
Whistler is alive in Blade 2.
Yeah, I did read that spoiler for myself.
Yeah, so
I was curious.
and then he's in Blade 3 as well.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that would have been really good. But he definitely, the guy that he stops looks older and a little bit more cleaned up like the original council had looked. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know if that was going to be someone that was part of that that had gotten away or some tie-in. But they definitely did leave a good little tease at the end to try to get your brain going to think how they're going to, you know, start the second.
Yeah, indeed. I don't know who this Moscow girl is. It's so fast. We see it very at the end of the movie.
And it's interesting that they're in Moscow at all.
Why are we in Moscow all of a sudden? I don't get that. In the next film, they're in, like, Czechoslovakia for a scene.
Which, that makes a little bit more sense. Like, getting closer and closer to the original, you know, legend and lore of vampires. But Moscow's random.
All right, so we have Levani. That is his name, like Madonna, like the Hulk. He is an actor, director, and producer, having worked... he was in Air Force One. He was one of the Russian pilots in Independence Day. He was in the film Virus, that fantastic piece of crap, starring Jamie Lee Curtis. See if he's still alive today. Yes, he's still alive. And he's the Russian vampire in the movie. And then we have Janya... the woman who plays Russian girl, she's just called Russian girl. She's an actress who's been in Bloody Bloody Coda, Charmed, Goldeneye Rogue Agent, Charmed, which is like a kind of a video game sequel to Goldeneye, the film starring Pierce Brosnan as James Bond. Mutant X, which is not a Marvel show, but it certainly sounds like one. Just Shoot Me, and Xena Warrior Princess.
Oh, love Xena.
So she was Russian woman in this. That's all I know about her. So, and our 5 minutes end with pretty much Blade doing the little slash. Just before Blade does the slash, that's how our 5 minutes end.
Yeah, just before.
Just before.
And we hear a little bit of music coming from the background. So I'm assuming it's a club scene or a club that they're outside of. Which...
Right. Yeah, he wants to get his bite on with this girl just right outside of a club.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's in Russia because there's some mob ties involved.
Possibly.
Or,
possibly.
Yeah,
possibly.
I'm trying to understand the significance of Russia without having seen the others.
That ends our 5 minutes for this episode of the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast. Jessica, where can people find you?
They can find me on YouTube at Arcane Echoes Podcast.
And you can find me over on my vampire stories, Vlada, A Dracula Tale, where we take the entire cast of Dracula and gender swap the cast. You can find this graphic novel on BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon, or my own Etsy. And also look for my upcoming book, Vampires in Physical Media, where I break down 100 different vampire movies and the physical media that's out there about them and what their bonus features entail. And we'll be back in a couple weeks with the last 5 minutes of the film Blade here on the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast.